The departure was fixed on the Feast of the Assumption. That is August 15th, 1096. That is after the harvest we're in. And he also urged that adequate provisions and money be acquired before setting out. But from the pulpits and in the marketplaces across Europe, prelates and inspired preachers continued to echo Urban's appeal. And many were not as careful in planning as Urban had hoped. Among the popular preachers was a fellow called Peter the Hermit. In the Rhineland and in parts of northeastern France, in towns where there were large populations who had prospered from the economic developments of the 9th and 10th century, who lived in villages or in towns, some of them underemployed, crowds enthusiastically followed Peter, who was described as the ugliest of men, who never washed himself, was probably foul-smelling, drank a very stark, dark wine and ate fish, nonetheless had the power to move men. He was followed by a variety of not only townsmen and villagers, but also a considerable number of German and French knights in that important zone between what is France and the Holy Roman Empire. Many of these men, one of the most colorful of them, a fellow called Walter Sans Avoir, Walter the Penniless, as we translate it into English, provided some actual military force. So the groups that clustered around Peter and popular preachers and set out in March and in April of 1096, well in advance of Urban's notions, consisted of a certain number of knights and men with military training. But the majority of them were armed pilgrims with little military discipline, and it was these groups that streamed down the Rhineland and across the Danube and entered Hungary well in advance of the planned crusade that was preached back at Clermont. And they will cause the Byzantine emperor considerable difficulty. They also annoy the Hungarian king, who has to take military measures against some of these crowds. They were not very well organized, not very well led as a coherent army. On the other hand, they certainly had enthusiasm. Some of them clearly were inspired by apocalyptic visions. Some of these groups, especially the groups led by Emick of Leisingen, who was an imperial knight, attacked Jewish communities. There were ugly pogroms in Worms, Mainz, and Metz. Bishops at times, in some cases, bishops tried to restrain the crowds, tried to protect the Jewish residents. In other cases, they just stepped aside. And so these enthusiasts vented their rage against the Jews, who were put in the same category as heathens. And if you remember Urban's appeal, he knows very little about Islam. The Turks, calls them Persians by the classical name, they're just like heathens we would meet in, you know, in our eastern frontiers. And so why not kill the heathen within as well as the one that you're going to find out in Palestine? But the numbers of pious poor who went in the so-called People's Crusade clearly made up the majority. However, even in the well-disciplined forces that departed in August and later of 1096, there were always a large number of unarmed pilgrims, families of the knights, of the princes. There were also the desperate poor, the so-called Tafors. And one point that must be kept in mind, in 1096, these crusades departed. They did not get to Jerusalem until 1099. And while different groups merged and joined up, in the course of traveling, a whole society was created and was transformed as it moved east. By 1099, in my opinion, there were very few people left in that crusade who didn't know how to survive and didn't know something about warfare. There were many knights who started out with money and property and ended up with very little at the end and were fighting as infantry. There were also others who probably increased their status. So you can't think of this First Crusade as some kind of static movement where everyone who started out was going to end up the same way. There's a whole social and economic transformation going on. And as one who's twice taken large numbers of students across Asia Minor, you know, or 20 or 30 students, which would be actually the retinue of a crusader prince, I can assure you that in the course of travel of any length, an identity is forged. And the people who went on this crusade clearly had a sense of identity by the time they ended.